want to welcome you to the Hope Restored podcast. I'm your host, Missy Dale. On today's episode, we are going to talk about the wait. Oh boy, it's going to be fun. Just wait. All right, it's been a hot minute since I've been on here. It's been about 2 months. And the reason being, I have been on a journey. I have been on a journey. That's all I can say right now is it's been a journey. And I guess it was more of a slow fade. Just the seasons had changed. And I want to tell you that it's been tough. I've had dealt with a son that is in the midst of addiction and had been in and out of our house frequently and often. It was like a revolving door until finally we had to say enough is enough. And that has been a journey, but God has been faithful. And I want to tell you today that son is in treatment. I took him there Sunday. And so we are excited. And so, oh my goodness, just praise God for that right there. But even in that, you know, he's in treatment right now. I can tell you, I've been on all the emotions. You know, I've been sad because I wish I could help him as a substance abuse counselor. My husband and I both are one. You know, you think, okay, your kid is an addiction and you have tools and all the things that you can say, and we could not reach him. There's moments where, you know, your love can only go so far. Your words can only do so much, but it's only by God's grace and his mercy that he can heal and he can deliver. And I know that he is faithful and he will do that. And so, you know, with that, there was all kinds of emotions. You know, there's sadness, there's anger. There's anger in me. I've had to forgive some things. I've had to look inward and see, you know, my part in all of this. And I've had to forgive myself over and over and over again. And I want to just encourage someone out there that maybe you have a child or a loved one that is in addiction right now. Do not give up hope. Keep praying. Pray every day. Be persistent in your prayers. And know that, you know, right now that God can deliver, he can save, he can rescue, he can put people in their paths, he can encounter them in the only way that he knows how. He can, his presence can surround them. So don't give up hope. There is still hope. And you know what? I know who holds my hand and I know who holds tomorrow. So as of right now, we rejoice. I don't know about tomorrow. I don't have to worry about tomorrow, but for right now, I rejoice that my son is getting the help he needs. And I just pray for the ministry that he is at, that God will just prosper it and it will be blessed. So today's episode, I thought, well, you know what? We're going to talk about waiting. Waiting. I loathe waiting. I am not good at it. I'm an impatient person. I do not try not to pray for patience because I know if I pray for patience, guess what's going to happen? I'm going to have to wait. But even though I'm not praying for patience, I've been in a season of wait. I've been in a season of just waiting on the hand of God. And you know what? I did some research on the word wait because I'm a little bit of a nerd. Anybody else a nerd out there in podcast land? Because I am one. And so I had to look up wait in the Bible. And, you know, I thought, you know, I know the definition of wait. We all know the definition of wait. But do you realize there are several different ways that wait is defined in the Bible? There are four different ways that it is defined in the Bible. The first one being to bind together, perhaps by twisting. Bind together, perhaps by twisting. And I think I've talked about that before. You look at a rope and you see the strands that are held together, that are twisted together, that makes up the rope. And the rope is strong. The rope is mighty. And just imagine that when we wait, when we have an attitude of wait, we are to bind together, perhaps by twisting with the Lord. We are to be so connected to the vine, as the Bible says in John 15, that we are grafted into the vine, that we are so connected, we abide with him. What does that look like? To abide in him, to be bound together with him, perhaps by twisting. What does that look like? That looks like that we start our day with him, we go throughout our day with him, we end our day with him, that we are praying continually. The Bible says that you're at the office and you're praying, you're in your car, you're praying, you have communication with the Father. If you have questions, you ask the Father. If you need decisions to be made, you ask the Father. You are so engrafted in him. You are in your word, just devouring it, having a hunger for more of him. You're worshiping. You're just connected. And you know what? There's times where the Lord is quiet. Anybody ever been in that season? Chime in if you have. Comment about it and how you got through those moments where the Lord is quiet. And you know, there's sometimes where sin comes in and causes separation, right? And so we know, okay, when that happens, we know when we have sin in our life and that it caused that separation. And so we know we need repentance. We need to turn away from it. We need to ask forgiveness and all that. And then that connection comes back. But there's seasons where we are in the wilderness and things are being shut down in our lives. Anybody ever been there? You're just shut down. You know, maybe ministry opportunities are closed. Maybe you just feel isolated, but you're not doing it to yourself. It's happening in your life where you can feel alone. And I want to tell you, I want to challenge you in those moments when you feel like you are alone. One, you're not alone. The Father neither leaves us or forsakes us. So you are not alone, but you need to trust God in those moments that even when he's quiet, even when it seems like he's not there, he is there. We know the character of God, right? Amen. We know he is a God of love, of mercy and grace. We know that goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life. We know that when we are in the pit, we can cry out to him and that he will hear our cry and that he will turn to us and he will incline to us. He will reach down to us and to deliver us. Right? We know the character of God. So if he's quiet, there might be a time in our lives where he is quiet and we have just got to trust the hand of God that he is teaching us that only he can be our source. I think of Elijah. Elijah was a mighty man of God. And when he came on the scene in 1 Kings, he just opened up a chapter. And we learn that Elijah, I believe he was the Tishbite, I don't have my Bible out in front of me, and he pronounced a drought. That was the first thing we heard. Here's Elijah pronouncing the drought. And he knew that because of how Israel was acting so wicked and was serving the gods of Baal and had rejected God Almighty. And so there is, when we reject God Almighty in the Old Testament, he says he will withhold the rains. And so Elijah pronounced a drought because this is what the children of Israel were doing. They were rejecting God. So he knows, you know what? If we're rejecting God, he will withhold rains. And so he pronounced this drought. And then God sent him to a brook called Kereth. And you know what? So many times I would think, you know, if I was Elijah, this is what I would think, you know, I just pronounced this drought, this big thing. And it was like my first thing into ministry. You know, it's going to be prayer of the way and opportunities are going to be happening and all this stuff. And instead God said, go out by yourself to the stream and I'm going to give you provision. You're going to go to a stream by yourself. You know, you're not going to have a soul around you. But I'm going to feed you by ravens. A dirty bird is going to drop you some food. And you're going to drink from the stream of Kereth. And it's going to be able to sustain you. You see, I think it was a strategic moment for God to show Elijah that I'm your source. I'm your source for food. I'm your source for provision. I am your source for power. You are the vessel. I am the power. I'm teaching you. I'm training you in this moment. And I want to tell you that you might be in a wilderness time right now, but it is a strategic place where if we will accept it, if we will embrace it, I don't know why I'm yelling in this mic, so I apologize if you're having to turn down your listening device, but I just feel this in my spirit and I'm preaching to myself. You're in this wilderness, embrace it. He's teaching you right now. He's saying, you know what? I want you to be alone right now because I want to pour into you. I don't want all the other noises to be around you. I want you to be so grafted into me that we're twisted up together, that we bind each other together, that I am holding you and I am sustaining you. You see the brook Kerith. Kerith, the word, the very word means to cut away. To cut away. You see, the wilderness opportunity is to cut away anything that cannot serve you for the next season. So, you know what? There's sometimes where we're not entering into the next season because we've got some character that needs to be developed within us, some good character. We may have some habits that needs to be cut off of us. We may have some thinking patterns that needs to be renewed, and we need to take captive of our thoughts. There might be some relationships that needs to cut away and to be dead in our lives because it can't take us to that next season. It can't take us to that fire, calling down fire from the heavens, that mountaintop experience. The valley is needed. The wilderness is needed. Jesus himself, when he would do the miraculous, he would go off into the wilderness by himself to be strengthened up. I don't even know why I pressed that. There's birds chirping.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Anyways, he went off by himself and strengthened himself. He understood a valuable truth that the wilderness is a place to draw strength. That just changes it all, doesn't it? That if you're in a season of wait, oh, hold on, you are being strengthened. It's up to us to embrace it or not. We can make it longer than it needs to be, or we can embrace it and say, you know what? God, I gladly accept this season of wait. I am going to be so connected in you, and I'm going to hear your voice. It's going to be fine-tuned to you because there's no other voices out there that I can hear right now. We got to silence it all. We got to be cut away. We got to get in this place where we are one with God. Now, I'm not talking about isolating ourselves. If God's not called you into a season of wilderness, don't just go there. You know, Elijah, after he called down fire from heaven, he isolated himself. God didn't send him to that cave. He himself went to that cave. He himself told his servant to stay right there, and he went into the cave, and disaster happened because he got into his thinking and he thought he was the only man of God that was left in Israel, and look what he did, and he let exhaustion take over and he let depression take over and he wanted to die right there in the cave, but God didn't send him to that cave. So if you're in a season right now and God has not sent you to that place, then you are out of line. You're out of alignment. It is seasons come that God has told us. He's mandated us. And so we got to watch. Are we going to the stream of Kerith, or are we hiding in a cave? Which one is it? Is it God sent or is it man sent? And be able to establish between the two. That's a word for somebody out there. The next wait is to stay around, abide, continue, endure, remain. That we wait, we endure. You know what? Whatever that season is, there's some seasons that are hard. There's some seasons that feel dark. You know, you think of the power of a seed. A seed is planted. It's buried. It's in darkness. It is in the pit. But growth happens in the pit because once that seed expands and life comes out of it, it was able to endure that season and bloom where it was planted. So if you're another wait, to stay around, abide, continue. I'm going to go back to the weight bind together, perhaps by twisting. There's several verses in the Bible that the definition of that is in. And Lamentations 3:25 is, it says, the Lord is good to those who wait for him. So you think of that. The Lord is good to those who bind together, perhaps by twisting in him, for him, to the soul who seeks him. You see, that changes the whole definition, that whole way that we process that verse, that the Lord is good to those that bind together with him. You know what? The Lord is good to those who seek him. You know, I can't bind together with the Lord unless I'm seeking after his face, unless I'm seeking after him. The next one is Psalm 27:14. It says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Bind together, perhaps by twisting. You see, he is holding you up. He is strengthening you. He is sustaining you. So wait, abide, get connected to him. Amen. In Isaiah 40:31, y'all know it. You could probably quote it with me. But they who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Bind together, perhaps by twisting. Next one is John 15:5. I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me, he who waits in me, he who binds together, perhaps by twisting, in me and I in him, bears much fruit. Much fruit. For without me, you cannot do anything. See, that's what's happening in the wait. You're realizing something right now in the wait. That I can't do anything without him. I need him. And that is what the wait is all about, is the need, seeking after him. I can't do this without you, Lord. I need you. And when we get to that place, that humility, that humbleness, that I am nothing without you, God, I cannot do it. It is only by you. You are the one who strengthens in me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can't do it in myself. If I try, I fail. If I try, I wear out. If I try, I get a burden down. If I try, I can't carry the weight, the heaviness of it. But if I'm grafted into him, if I'm waiting, if I'm perhaps twisting up with him, then it's he that gets the glory. It's he that does it through you. You are the vessel. He is the power. The next weight is to stay, endure, or remain. You look at that in Acts 1:4, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. Promise of the Holy Spirit, to wait, to stay. Just hold on for a second. Let's endure. Let's get, you know, on our knees and pray before the Father. Let's wait on him and you will receive the promise. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. 1 John 2:5-6 says, but whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. Abide through obedience. We walk the way that he walks. You know, that's that wait upon him. We wait. He gives the marching orders. We walk in it. He tells us what direction to go. We walk in it. He tells us the choice to make. We walk in it. Obedience. In that. The next one I absolutely love. It means to carve. Wait, to carve. Has God told you something? And prophetically, maybe he's given you a vision of the future. You carve it out. You write it out. You write it on the tablets of your heart. You understand that if he said it, he will deliver it. Carve. No, I'm waiting on it. I'm writing it out. I'm seeing it. I got a vision board in front of me. It's gonna happen. In those days when I feel like he is distant, I'm gonna remind myself of what he prophetically spoke and I'm gonna adhere to it. I'm gonna carve it out. I'm gonna know if he said it, he will deliver it. Amen. I mean, that gets me excited just thinking about that, you know, to carve it out. We can carve it. It's gonna remain. It's gonna stay because his voice, his words stay. stay. They're a staying force. And we can carve it, and you carve into a tree, it's going to stay for eternity, right? God's given you a word. Write it down. Share it with yourself. You know, I don't believe in blabbing everything that the Spirit has told you. You know, there's sometimes where we gotta keep it. We gotta ponder it in our heart like Mary did. You know, she pondered the words that the angel said to her. She wasn't gonna blab it to everybody. She was gonna ponder it. She's gonna carve it out and understand God spoke. You know, there's a lot of naysayers out there. You can share your vision and they can try to stop it. They can try to put doubt in your minds. They can try to distract you from the promise. So sometimes you got to use wisdom on who you share it with. Amen. Habakkuk 2:3 says, "For the vision is yet for an appointed time at the right time." Not our timetable, friend. It's His timetable. But at the end, it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait. Though it tarries, wait. Though it tarries, you carve it out, but you wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Listen to that again. I'm gonna repeat that. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. He's given you a vision right now, and this is for somebody. He has given you a word. For the appointed time, at the right time, at the exact opportunity, at the exact moment. Sometimes He's waiting for us. Sometimes He's waiting for somebody else to be prepared. Sometimes He's waiting for a specific moment, a specific opportunity. You see, I think of Hannah right now. Hannah wanted a child in the Old Testament, and she waited. She waited on it. She prayed. She interceded. And it had to be. God had to have it wait. Had her barren so that she could be ready to receive this baby, this child that needed, the world needed. And Israel had to be ready for it. It had to be at the right time. You read that story in 1 Samuel. You know, Hannah, she was barren for a reason. She was barren for a reason, so that she could receive this child and she could dedicate this child back to God. And God could use this child, this Samuel, to anoint the king that is David. So it had to be at the right time, at the appointed time. And so, you know what? For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait, you carve it out, guys. You carve it out. If He's given you a vision, you carve it out. You wait for it, because His timetable is not like our timetable. Amen. I love that. I love that verse in Habakkuk. The next one, wait, is to twist, whirl in a circular or spiral manner, to dance, to hope, to trust. And immediately when I think of that word wait and that dancing, I think of David when he brought in the Ark of the Covenant. You see, he had waited for this Ark to come, and here comes the Ark of the Covenant, and he dances in front of the Ark. He dances because he had waited for this moment, and his wife was like, "You are acting a fool." And he told his wife, "Listen, I'll become even more undignified than this. Like, you can't blame me for my worship. You don't understand where it comes from. You know what? You might have been given a direction from the Lord, and you can just feel it. Like, it's coming. It's coming. We're about ready to receive it. And you're dancing, you're worshiping, because your season of wait, it may almost be over." And so I love that. Psalm 37:7 said, "Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes." You know what? You dance before the Lord. You wait, because it's going to be your season soon. It's going to be your turnaround time. It's going to be your turn. And you celebrate that. You wait. You dance before the Lord, because we trust Him, right? We honor Him. We glorify Him. Our hope is in Him, that if He said it, He will deliver it. It's almost time. I can feel it. I can feel it in my spirit. That way, that dancing before the Lord. Amen. James 5, 7 through 11 says this, be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm because the Lord's coming is near. We're going to dance before the Lord. He's coming. He's coming back. Our hope is in Him. Our confidence in Him. So, you know, even though we're waiting right now, we are dancing before the Lord in worship. Amen. Don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers and sisters, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion. He's full of mercy. Amen. Amen. So if you're in a season of wait right now, I want you to think about those four different definitions to bind together, perhaps by twisting. It is a moment to just be so connected with the Lord. The next one, to stay around, abide, continue, endure, remain, that we're waiting on Him. We're going to endure this season. It's going to be a good thing. And those who wait on the Lord, they shall renew their strength, because we understand that we are getting our strength from Him. It can only be by Him. The next one is adhere to, or to carve. We're going to ride it out. What God has spoken to us, we're going to ride it out. We're going to believe for it. We're going to wait for it. It may tarry, but it's going to come at the appointed time, at the right time. And we trust the hand of God. We trust the hand of Jesus. We trust in Him that He is faithful. He is faithful. And the next one is to dance. We're going to dance in the midst of the wait. I can't wait. We're saying that a lot, to hear testimonies of those who's had to wait and then receive the promise. I want you to comment in on whatever platform you're listening to, if you've been in a season of wait and you have experienced a springtime, I want you to, if you could give an encouraging word to somebody that's in the middle of their winter season, to endure, to stay faithful, some sort of word of encouragement. I would love for you to do that right now, to chime in. Just post about it underneath the comments on whatever platform you're listening on. So today, I'm just going to close with that. Wait. Just embrace it. Whatever the season you're in, whether you're a season of winter or you're in spring, embrace it. Enjoy it. Whether you're a new mom, embrace that baby. Enjoy it. Whether you're an empty nester, enjoy it. Whether you're waiting for ministry to happen, embrace it. Wait for it, because He's preparing you for where He's going to launch you. In Jesus' name.